Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. This is the last chapter in the book of Galatians. I'm going to read through the chapter, and then once you're seated, we'll start to go back through it. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Your spirit, amen. You may be seated. Paul covers a couple of different things within this chapter, and then he kind of concludes the chapter by going back and actually having a conclusion that it kind of sums up the first five chapters. But in the first verse, it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, of course that word fault there means, you know, a lapse or a deviation from the truth or uprightness, or in other words, be overtaken in sin. Ye which are spiritual. What this actually means is, it's not talking about spiritual the way some people think about people being spiritual because they seem to know a lot. That's not what this is referring to. It's talking about one who actually has the Holy Ghost. The actual Greek interpretation is one who is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God. So if there's a man that's overtaken in a fault, now this is the thing you've got to realize. This is, as it goes on, it says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, you got to look, what does that word restore mean? Because many times people will look at this and think, well, it means to welcome them right on back into the fold. That's not what this is talking about. This word restore here actually means to make one as they ought to be with God, or reconcile them to God. It's not talking about someone who's overtaken in a fault or who has sin. You say, well, you're just welcome right on back into the fold. You know, and I'm not saying we don't welcome people in, but what I'm saying is what this word here is talking about is that that's not, you're not going there to say, hey, we're welcoming you back into the church. You know, you're going to them to actually get them right with God. That's what this word actually restore, when you look it up in the Greek, actually means. And when you look it up in the Message to see what Brother Branham, as he addresses this scripture, he's talking about getting them right with God, not just making them feel welcome back in the church, you know. But the thing is, this is, as Brother Branham goes through this, it's actually, it's dealing with somebody that's actually already in the church, you know, as Brother Branham goes through it. And he says, you need to go to them and see if you can't reconcile them back to God. He sees that in God Being Misunderstood, 1961. And in that message, he says that in paragraph 68, right on down in paragraph 71, he begins to speak about actually repentance of the individual. And he said, you know, repentance is someone having godly sorrow for their sin. He says, and then turning away. So in order to restore or reconcile someone to God, they've got to be willing to repent. But Brother Benham goes through this, and he's saying, talking about, you know, look, if something happens between you and another individual within the church, you know, he says, you say, well, they did me wrong. They should come to me. Brother Rem says, not what the Bible says. The Bible said you should go to them if they're overtaken. And he says, and try to reconcile. And he says, you know, you, it doesn't matter. He said, you know, who did what, whatever, you know. And he says, but then in the message of why we are not a denomination, Brother Branham, speaking of this same thing here, this very verse, he's talking about if there's something that happens between a couple of believers, individuals within the assembly, he says, you know, let the one, he says, well, you got something against me, go to him. See if you can get it reconciled, and that, and but then Brother Branham goes on and says, but if they won't hear you, he says, then go take a witness and go back to them. And he says, then if they won't hear the witness, he says, then go get your pastor and go talk to them with your pastor, and get it reconciled. You know, and you say, well, that's all great, that's all well. Brother Branham didn't stop there. He said, after that, if they won't hear and reconcile, he said, then bring it before the church. He says, and give them a space of time to come and reconcile, make the thing right. He says, and then if they don't, he says, then, he says, you got to let God discipline them. He says, take them out from underneath the blood, which you're familiar with that. I've preached on that years ago. And that, and he says, you know, you actually, you know, you kind of oust them, you know. So in other words, he said, as Paul talked about in Corinthians, how that you turn them over to the devil so that an evil spirit can come and actually set in against them in their flesh to actually, and he says, and watch, he says, if they belong to God, it'll get them back to God. But now this when Brother Branham is dealing with this and the scripture's dealing with that, and you look in Corinthians when Paul's dealing with it, that he's talking about somebody, it's not somebody who isn't even coming to church there. Just somebody you know or whatever, or has come before in the past, whatever. No, it's somebody that's currently attending. And the reason it is, if you go back into Corinthians, Brother Paul says it's because they're attending. They're there claiming to be part of the assembly. And remember, but because of whatever that they're doing, they're bringing a reproach upon God and they're bringing a reproach upon the church. And so Paul says, you need to remove that. So let God bring the correction. You know, but, you know, look, if Brother Branham goes through and says, look, you know, many times he says, you'll find, actually he says, every time you're going to find out if there's something's happened between you and another individual in the church, he says, it's really not them. He says, it's actually the devil. And he says, and as long as you don't go to them and try to get this thing reconciled, he says, you're actually allowing the devil to do harm to your brother and sister. And so, you know, don't let things set in there between you. And Brother Branham, he's actually speaking about that in that message, and he's talking about, you know, he says, people come here and they take communion. And he says, and they're taking communion together, and they're hearing the service together and that. He says, and then they get these little tiffs between them and that. He says, and then he says, instead of going to one another and getting the thing reconciled and ironed out, he says, instead they get on the phone and start telling somebody else about it. He says, and then after they've done all this gossiping around and that, then they come up here, he says, to partake of the communion together. He said, that shouldn't be. If there's anything laying there, don't let, friends, look, Satan, well, Brother Branham says, actually, it'll cause a cancer if you let it stay there like that. He says, it's like a cancer in the church. And he says, and it'll begin to multiply. And he said, so you need to be able to go and get this taken care of. Don't let things lay there, and I'll tell you this, friends, many times people get this, sometimes things where, sometimes it ain't even anything that's been said. It's just somebody thinks that, well, this person didn't really greet me on Sunday, or they kind of slighted me, or they didn't really say anything. I think they got something against me. I think I kind of feel like they got something against me, and whatever. That's just the devil putting them crazy thoughts in there, you know. And the thing about it is, friends, look, here we are as a body of believers, and we're not a large church. We're a small church. So this shouldn't be a hard thing. You know, if there's something that is laying there or whatever, if you've got, look, friends, you need to go and be able to talk to one another, pray together, you know, and if you need a spiritual guidance from the pastor, then get together with the pastor on it. Look, in the book of Isaiah, when it spoke about the coming of Christ, when Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of the Messiah, he gives these different terms to describe what the Jesus will be. And one of those things is, he says, he's counselor. Well, how is God going to be, how is Jesus going to be a counselor to you today? Well, he's got offices that he works through. And the Lord will use the pastor to counsel you. You can come and get counsel of the Lord. You know, if you don't got confidence in the pastor to come and get counsel of the Lord from him for things that's going on in life, then maybe you need to look to go somewhere else and find a pastor you do have that confidence in. Because that's what God put pastors for. To be the shepherds, to be there to care for the flock, you know. And look, friends, I'm not here, so you're not here for me. God sent me here for you. So, you know, if you're not utilizing it, then that's on you. And I know sometimes people, you know, I know there's been a lot of things that's happened over the years I've been here. And I know there was a time where, you know, I've given testimony how God healed me from the mental disease that I was suffering from and that. And I know there was a time that it kind of made a lapse in things there while I was suffering from that. But I'm not suffering from that anymore. You know, and... You know, when I first came here, and there was different, there was, well, it was a different, actually almost a different group, somewhat than what there is actually even here now. But there was a lot of people back then, you know, they sometimes instead of calling me, they called another brother that was in the church at that time, because I guess they had known him a lot more years than they had known me. And that's understandable to a degree. But the thing is, God didn't send that brother here to be the pastor. And if that brother was meant to be here to be a help to this church and a help to the people, he'd still be here. But he's not. Now, look, God spent a lot of time training me. And I'll tell you, friends, I have actually went through a lot. Some of the suffering I went through was because of my own self. But I've went through a lot and learned a lot over the years. And God put a lot of time into preparing me. Not to have all the answers, but to actually know how to get in touch with him to get the answers. To know how to get in touch with him to bring the Spirit of God down on the scene. And actually then to be a pastor here. And so, you know, if you got a question about the way that I'm doing things, don't call somebody else up. What do you think about what Brother Jerry, you know, he's doing it this, and I don't know about this over here, you know. I had a lot of that going on during that COVID thing, you know. There was people that didn't agree with me. So they were questioning me, and so they didn't, you know, if they didn't get the answer they wanted from me, they called up somebody else to talk about what, you know, whether they think I was doing the right thing or not. Thing is, friends, look, some might still have their doubts about how everything was handled back then, but we're here, aren't we? Here's the thing, you know, if you actually get confidence that God has sent that man there to pastor and lead the group, then just because he makes a decision that you don't quite understand or agree with doesn't mean all of a sudden God's not still leading him. I don't know how people get it in their mind all of a sudden they know better than the one God sent there to actually get in touch with him to lead the church. I don't know how I've had people over the years call me up and I look at them, they ain't got a gift to preach, they ain't got a gift to pastor, they're not part of the fivefold ministry, but somehow they knew how to tell me to be what I'm supposed to be. That doesn't even make logical human sense, let alone spiritual sense. Anytime a person gets out of their place, they're going to get in trouble with God. You know, look, I was an associate pastor for years, friends. And I'll tell you, there was one practice I had down, boy. I had it down how to do it. When people came to me, I said, "Have you talked to the pastor? Because I ain't him." I didn't give them counsel because God didn't put me there to do that. If the pastor was out of town, I still didn't give counsel because that wasn't my job. My job was to be there to assist him. Now, if there was something, he was out of town, there was something going on, somebody sick or whatever, then that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to take care of. There's something that's happened that needs immediate action taken, and the pastor say that he's in, because I've been in a situation where the pastor was in Honduras, you know. And there would be a situation that needed some immediate action. Okay. But when it comes to actual counsel and that, you know, especially when the pastor is there, I would never give it. I don't care if they came and saw me at my house or called me on the phone or wanted to meet me out somewhere or whatever and all that. I did not do it. Because I knew that what I was supposed to do was point them to the pastor. God sent him there. All right, let's move on. Hallelujah. I don't even know how I got on that. All right. Down in the seventh verse, you'll notice Paul says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, many times people will hear somebody that, if they see somebody that's been doing something wrong or done something wrong, they'll hear somebody say to them, "You'll reap what you sow." And it always comes across that whole scripture is just a negative thing, and it's not. Amen. That scripture is actually a positive thing. It just depends where you stand. You know, like one person was in the church, and they come out of the service and said, "I'll tell you what's the truth, man. Whole time I was in there, he kept calling me Esau." The other said, "Well, I'll tell you, he kept calling me Jacob. Amen. He kept calling me Israel. He kept calling me a son of God." So it just depends on where you're at, what you're going to get out of it, you know. So Brother Branham says, whatever life you live, that's the kind of life you're going to reap. You know, he says, God has let me live long enough to see you can't do wrong and get by. And he says, but look, he says, and this is why people are so tossed about, he said, sow the right seed and you'll reap the right crop. If you sow the wrong seed, you'll reap the wrong things. You can't go east and west at the same time. You either go one way or the other. You either pointed toward God this morning with all that you've got looking to him, or you pointed the other way. Now, what's he talking about? When he said, here he is, he's saying, if you sow right seed, you'll reap right seed. You sow wrong seed, you're going to reap wrong. But he goes on and said, you're either pointed toward God this morning or looking to him, or you're pointed the other way. In other words, you're sowing something in your life. I don't want to reap anything, so I ain't sowing anything. Look, you don't really have a choice. You are sowing. Your life, how you live it, what you do, the example you are around your family and your children, you're sowing seed. And whatever you sow, that's what you're going to get back. I'll tell you what, though, friends, I get to thinking about this. I think about parents, and I think about parents sowing wrong things to their kids and all that. And then I realize and go back to Brother Branham saying, you know, you could have a child that's born to the two worst parents there are in the world. He said, but it has nothing to do whether that child is a seed of God or not. That child can still be a seed of God. God can still speak to them. God can still bring them. They could be two people that is the most mixed up doctrinal people. But that their offspring could actually be a true seed of God that God will just bring right on into the complete truth of it. I'm so happy for that. Amen. That's a good thing to know. And I'll tell you this, friends. Look, unless there is a seed of God in there, then whatever that's been sowed to those children by those parents, that's how they're going to turn out. And I'll tell you this. You know, they talk about this whole thing about nature over nurture. There is a nature people can have that they're born with. And I'll tell you what, friend, there's learned things, and then there's things that's just there. It's a nature. And I don't care how much you nurture a bad nature, you ain't going to change it. I don't care how much nurture you give it. You can nurture it all you want, but if there's a bad nature there and there's no seed of God to be regenerated, they'll go back just like a pig to the mud. Because it's what's in them. But, you know, and you remember the example I gave so many times. I even end up writing a song about it, about the two thieves on the cross. You know, they had sowed these seeds of being thieves and that in life. They were up there hanging on the crosses, you know, and they were reaping what they had sowed. But then the one thief, he began to sow some good seed. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And friends, he reaped that seed immediately. Hallelujah. So, Brother Bram says, it depends on what you sow. Brother Bram says this in the message of perseverance. He says, you can't expect to sow cuckleburrs and get wheat. If you sow wheat, you'll reap wheat. If you sow cuckleburrs, you'll reap cuckleburrs. But he said, then my Redeemer lived. He says, God's let me live long enough to see you can't do wrong and get by. And then he refers to his first wife, Hope, you know, that her dying and the dying of his daughter. And he said it was him reaping for what he had done. But Brother Branham talking about that, he says in the message of adoption, he said, now you might do wrong things. And every time you do anything wrong, you're going to get paid for it. You'll reap what you sow. But that doesn't have one thing to do with your salvation. And we can do wrong things. We can make mistakes and we'll end up reaping for those. But that don't mean we're lost. Just means you're going to get some correction. You ain't going to get by. Hallelujah. So then Paul continues on in verse 9 of Galatians 6. And this is actually a continuing on from that you'll reap what you sow. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Paul's talking about this, you doing good. Is you're sowing good seed. And he says, and you know, the thing is, you know, you doing the right things, living the right kind of life, being the right kind of example, being the right kind of a Christian. Brother Adam said, sometimes, you know, people get to thinking, well, like he said, like Abraham. He said, you know, Abraham was doing what was right. He said, but then, you know, God told him, said, look, you need to separate yourself from Lot. And he says, you let Lot, you know, you need to separate yourself. So Abraham told Lot, he said, look, you go your way and I'll go the other way. He said, you pick, you choose. So it looked like that Lot chose the better thing. It looked like he got a better deal out of it because he chose the lush, fertile-looking areas down that were toward Sodom. And Brother Ram said, it looked like Abraham got a raw deal. He says, and sometimes people, when they're serving God and they've committed to serving God, they're being a good example, they're being a good influence, they're being a good Christian. He says, and then they're going through hardships and they're going through hard times. They go through hard times sometimes financially, go through hard times with their jobs, they go through hard times with other things, and they get to thinking, well, look what all I've done for God. He says, you're not getting a raw deal. He said, here's the thing, don't be weary. Don't get weary, he said, in well-doing.
He said, because look, there is a season to, there is a season to prepare the ground. There is a season to sow the seed. He says, and then there is a certain season to reap. And he said, you know, don't get weary waiting for the season to come to reap. If you, he says, according to what Paul says, if you'll faint not, eventually the season will come for you to reap from all the good that you've been doing for the Lord. So he says, don't get worried because it seems like it ain't happening. Just be patient. Don't faint. Just stay right there faithful, he said. Don't get weary doing good. He said, because there's the season will come. And when it does, then you'll reap. He says, and that's what happened with Abraham. So look what Abraham ended up reaping. Look what his people, his descendants end up reaping. Hey, it was some 540 some years later, but they eventually reaped what all Abraham had done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's in the message of Jehovah Jireh. Brother Abraham's talking about that. Abraham seemed like he got the raw deal. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end. He said, just keep looking on, just keep moving. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Paul concludes this chapter by revisiting the things that he actually had started writing to the Galatian church there from the first five chapters. And you know, if you remember in the first chapter, Paul said, why are you so soon removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel? He talked about false brethren coming in amongst them and to bring them under bondage by pointing them back to, you need to be circumcised. In other words, what they were pointing them back to was works of the law, to make themselves righteous by the keeping of the law. And Paul says, I got a question to ask you. He says, how did you get to where you are? Was it by works of the law or was it by faith? You know, and he says, if they want to turn you back to bondage, he says, and how do you turn again? He said, to the beggarly elements. And he says, observing of days and months and times and years, and that he's talking about keeping the law. And he says, look, he says, if you do that, he says, then Christ has become of no effect to you. Because Christ came and gave his life and died to fulfill the law. Remember, I was talking about that on Sunday. The law was a shadow, but then the fulfillment of it came, which was Jesus Christ. And when it did, the shadow became no more. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled everything that the law was pointing to was the coming of the promise that was given to them there in the garden. And when Christ came, he fulfilled that. And you know, the shadow of the sacrifices and all those things, it was fulfilled when the ultimate sacrifice came. And so, and then Paul says, hey, look at these ones. He said, these false brethren that's creeped in among you and try to bring you under bondage. He says, they can't even keep the law themselves. That's what he says here in Galatians 6 and verse 13. He says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. They can't even keep the law. And then you realize that he also pointing at those that actually were the Jews that were circumcised, like Peter and James and John and all them, whatever. He says, look, they're not dependent on the law for their righteousness. They're dependent on salvation through Jesus Christ as well, the grace of God. You know, and then Paul goes on in verse 14 to say, but God forbid I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. In other words, he says, I'm cut off from the world. I'm not partaking of those things. I'm not part of the world. And he says, and the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, Paul's talking about it. He says, look, I'm crucified. I've crucified this flesh. I bring this flesh under subjection to the word of God that is wrote in my heart. And then Paul concludes it in verse 15 by saying, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Amen. Friends, look, we're not holy because of our works. We are made holy and righteous and worthy because there's been a change happen to us. We become a new creation. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That old person that we used to be, that did those things, that we are not that person anymore. We're a new creature. So we don't live under bondage. We live in freedom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's how Paul concludes this this writings to the Galatians, and he sums this up about all the things that he was. The Galatian church, I tell you, men got in among some friends, and they really wrecked some havoc. And then you go back, and I'll say this as I'm closing. You go back then again to that very first verse that Paul starts this chapter off with. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Why does Paul start that off that way? Because that's what he's been doing this whole time in these writings to the Galatians. They were overtaken in a fault because they had listened to these men, and he says, and turned from the truth, which is sin. And so that's what Paul was doing. He was talking, he was restoring them back to where they should be with Christ. So then again, coming back and visiting this first verse, you realize, friends, look, you're actually obligated. We're obligated as believers to actually, if we see somebody that's overtaken in a fault, we're obligated to give them this guidance to be restored to God. Somebody calls you on the phone and says, I've been thinking I want to come back to church. And you know good and well they got some stuff to make right. You're obligated to tell them. You want to come back? Well, fine, come on back. But you know what? If you really want to get right with God, the way to get right with God is make the things right. Repent. Make the things right that you've done. If you said things against people in the church, if you said things against the pastor and things like that, you can't just come back here and park yourself on a bench. Because the thing about it is, friends, you didn't speak. They didn't speak against Jerry Browning. They didn't speak against Phil Bontrager. They didn't speak against Brother Gene or Brother Wayne or whoever. They were speaking against God because you're God's children. You're God's people. Remember when boy, Brother Branham described when Israel was asking for a king, and Samuel really got his feelings hurt about it. And he says, and God told him, said, Samuel, it's not you they're rejecting. He said, it's me. It's me, he said. Now, how was they rejecting God? Because God worked through the office of that prophet. And God was their king. And he worked through the office of his prophets. But they didn't want that anymore. And he said, look, don't take it personal, Samuel. It's not you. It's me they're rejecting. Friends, I really feel, look, I really feel, look, when somebody, say somebody comes back in here to church, you know, I'm not going to get up here and say they can't be here. But I'll tell you this, if I discern something there, I'm going to preach the word for them to get right. But if they're calling you on the phone, because they ain't calling me. If they're calling you on the phone and you're not, and you know there's something there and you're not telling, well, you need to get that right. Look, I'm going to tell you something, friends. Just going to a different church ain't going to do it. If you've done, if a person's done something wrong, they need to get it right. Hallelujah. And we're obligated. So many times, like, well, they're my brother. Boy, I really want to see them get right. Well, get them restored to the Lord. But you know what? The problem that a lot of people have, why they don't want to be restored in a way like that? Because they don't want to reap what they've sowed. I had an individual years ago stand back there in the office and tell me, I don't want to reap what I've sowed. Like you're going to throw a fit on God. I said, well, you know what? It doesn't matter what you want. That's the word. There's no way around it. You know. And he said, I know I've done wrong things, but I don't want people treating me like I've done them wrong things. Look, you make a reputation, you got to live that thing down. There's only one way to get rid of a bad reputation. Make a good one. There's only one way to get a good one is you got to repent of the bad that you've done and start doing some good. Look, friends, there was a time, I'll tell you this, when I was a teenager, I had a bad reputation in the church. You know, and I could have, back then I'd have told you it's because of the way these, you know, these people, some of them hypocrites, the way they treat me and all this and the other thing, and I just kind of showed out, but I was just being rebellious anyway. But you know what changed? There was a change happening here. And those things I used to do, I didn't do them anymore. And that reputation I had, that reputation got left behind. And as time went on, some of the other young people that were young people with me during that time that looked on me at that time as having a bad reputation later got to sit and hear me preach. But what changed it all? Surrendering to the Lord. Repenting, getting things right. And surrendering to the Lord. Amen. As I said on Sunday, an unconditional surrender. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for this service, Lord, this little Bible study. Here, Lord God, as we can bring a conclusion, Father, this study on the book of Galatians. I pray, God, that you'll take these things that we've looked from there. May we take them dear to our heart, dear God. I've seen these different going through the scriptures this way, dear God. I think it's very good, Lord, especially for the young, Lord, showing them just where some of these things that they've heard all their life and that showing them this is where it's actually at in the Bible. Lord, we thank you for that. Bless your people tonight, dear God. Those that have work tomorrow, Lord, be with them. Keep them through their day, Lord. I pray, dear God, that any that's out of town, Lord, that you'll bring them back safe. And bring us here, Father, to hear from your word again on Sunday, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.